Hi, everybody. This is Rick Joyner and Irv Puckett. And we're going to be doing our Bible study starting in Ephesians 1, 1:13 or 14. And Irv is going to bring out a psalm because we always like to worship with a song.
We were on verse or chapter 2, Rick.
Nope.
No, yeah, we're on chapter 1, verse 4, 15. We
Yep.
hit now blast on 15.
Yep. How did you know?
Huh?
How did you remember?
Because I got it marked in my Bible.
Okay, good. Okay, so why don't you? So, what's really cool about Ephesians 1 is Paul is trying to let us know who we really are in Christ and what the effect of coming to him for salvation is. And so Ephesians 1 sets the stage, and so we'll move into Ephesians 2 and we'll see some really neat things there. But we want to do some worship, so we'll grab a psalm and pray it back to the Lord. So what psalm are you going to go to?
Let's go to 24. We did 23 last time, so let's just go to 24, unless you got a better one you can do. You would
No,
like.
nope. Go ahead and pray and start.
Okay. Well, dear Lord, thank you so much for the time that we're going to be able to spend together. Open our hearts and our minds. Help us learn and teach at the same time. Let Rick open my mind and help him to teach me what to do and how to understand what we're reading. I have a bad problem with reading and not understanding, and Rick has been helping me do that. And thank you, Lord, for that so much. Give us strength and power to go through this and understand everything we read, which I know that that's not going to happen with everything, but help us to try to understand what we're doing here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And the Lord, thank you that Irv is going to be helping me.
Okay.
So,
Do you want to start off, Rick? Like I said, I'm having bad trouble with my throat, but we'll bear through it.
okay. All right. All right. Let
You want me to
me
start off
fix
reading or?
this. Yeah, go ahead and start off.
Okay. The earth is, hold on. Sorry. I had a bookmark here somewhere. I just can't find it now. Here it is. Okay. This way I don't lose my spot. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world of those who dwell within, therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. And refresh me, Rick. What does that mean?
Well, let's pray it back. Lord, I just want to thank you that when we come to your word, one of the things that we see is that the universe, the stars, the stardust, the planets, the orbiting planets, the suns, everything is designed by you and it's your world and your focus is on your creation and we are part of your creation. So Lord, what we thank you that you're reminding us that the earth and all of it that contains is yours. And so Lord, and when you say that all those who dwell in it, it's really interesting because as we'll see in Ephesians, you've actually predestined all of us to try to come to you. That's why you created us, but only some people will. And so that's why when Christ was on the earth, he said to the disciples that only a few people will want what he has, which is life eternal. Now, why wouldn't somebody want life eternal? Well, it comes with understanding that you are our source of life and that obedience to you is really important. And so, Lord, we accept the fact that we're your servants. We accept the fact that you are the ruler over the world and everything in it, whether we want you to be or not. And so, Lord, sometimes we run into atheists who will sit back and say, well, I don't believe in God. And that's like saying, I don't believe in your mother because I've never met your mother, so therefore she doesn't exist. But we know that you exist because you have resided in our hearts. We see that you answer our prayers, and we choose to believe in you because we know that you've saved us. So, Lord, you have founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. And, Lord, that's a very important concept because people say, well, where's the water for the flood? And Lord, the thing is that when the Holy Spirit in first Genesis 1:2 shows us that he was hovering over the waters. So the earth was primarily water. And Lord, you brought the seas out or the land from out within the water. So basically the water is underneath the land. And what happened during the flood is that you just opened it all up. So the oceans are where the water is. And so, Lord, you establish it upon the rivers. And so we just thank you for that. And then who may ascend into the hill of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place? Well, that's a great question because we want to ascend towards you, which means we have to humble ourselves. Yes. And with the hill, that's a city, and we know that city is Zion. And who may stand in his holy place is those who love you and those who want your help. And he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. And Lord, we ask you to help us with clean hands. That means everything that we do, you want us to have do with integrity and honor and towards you. And Lord, a pure heart, I have no idea if my heart is pure, but I'm counting on the Holy Spirit to help me be pure and your word. And that's why Irv and I are studying your word. Who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. And so, Lord, we look to you and just ask you to search out our hearts for any falsehood and deceit. We don't want any of it. And, Lord, sometimes, especially in the Midwest where we came from, people speak with passive aggressivity and not speak about what they actually mean. And so, Lord, please help us. That's a form of deceit. And, Lord, we ask that you would help us be upright and honest and correct in front of your way. And he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And Lord, that is truly, truly what we're seeking. This is a generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. And Lord, we just take a pause and we thank you for Jacob and the 12 tribes that he brought to us, because without them, we would have never met Messiah. So we lift up our heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And who is this King of glory? The Lord Sabaoth, which is the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. And Lord, you're the King of the hosts of us. And our captain is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, when it says gates and when it says doors, that's man's authority. So Lord, we open the doors for all of man's authority and doors, which are doors to our homes, and we open up our homes and our house to you, and we give you honor and glory. And Irv, you can pray us out now.
Lord, we know that there's a price. There is a price for your glory. Obedience, that's a price that we pay, that we have to pay for you. We have to be obedient to your love, to your righteousness, and to you, for us to let you lead the way. And that is our price. And that's a wonderful price to pay. Obedience is not something that is giving. I mean, it's something we have to work on. And I pray that Rick and I are obedient to you. And through this podcast, I hope people learn that obedience is a big thing. Through your word, we can be obedient. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Good.
You know,
go ahead.
Obedience is a, I just thought about it just now. Obedience is a real thing. If you're not obedient to the Lord, you're not really doing what you need to be doing. I mean, obedience is the main part of Christianity, right?
Right.
So why wouldn't we be obedient to the Lord? And he is giving us so much in return. He is giving us life after death.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, though. So first we're saved. We were dead in our sins. Like, yep. You were sitting on the porch that one day, and yep. You just said, I don't know where I'm going. And then we prayed and you asked Christ to come into your heart. Yep. And so we'll see that that's actually scriptural, because there's some folks that say that you don't ask Christ into your heart, and it's ridiculous. You do. So, it's Ephesians 3:17. So the biggest thing that we have to ask ourselves is this: how are we to be obedient?
How?
Yeah. Because you said that's a main tenet of Christianity, yeah. That we have obedience. Now, here's the thing. I want folks to understand something. I know you really well. And so when you actually get like you just said, I had let's call it a Holy Spirit prompt when you were praying. Something revealed to you about obedience. So your comment is related to that. It's similar to the one when you used to pray all the time to have the Holy Spirit fill you, which was your request constantly to ask the Lord so that you wouldn't sin against him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So your request for obedience is in your comment about that. Why is that prompting you like that?
Without obedience, we haven't got salvation, I don't think. Yes, we can ask the Lord for forgiveness and all that, but if we don't ask, if we're not obedient to the Lord, we're not doing it right.
Okay. This is really important for you, because there's a trap that's being set in your mind that will cause, there's a distinction we need to make here. And let me define what the trap is. Okay. So if I say to you, let's say you and I are out witnessing to somebody, and we run into a Christian and he's not living his life very well.
Mm-hmm.
He's living in sin. But in our discussion, we've evidenced to him, we've talked to him, and that he's asked Christ into his heart, and he's in a bad spot in his life right now. And maybe he doesn't even want to quit. So here's my question to you. Based on what you just said, is that man saved?
Yes, he still is, but he's not living what Christ wants him to live. He is still a Christian. He is still saved to an extent. Do you understand? He is saved. He has asked the Lord for forgiveness, and the Lord forgave him. I mean, that's all we need to do.
And then he got, that's perfectly said. That's exactly right. Now, the second part is, we can go right back to Adam, because what happened to Adam when he sinned, God still loved him,
yep.
And he still sinned. And then what happened to him? He was separated from God.
Yeah.
In fact, what God did is he kicked him out of the garden, and in a very loving way. It doesn't look loving, but it is loving, because if Adam and Eve would have gone in and ate of the tree of life, they would have become eternal sin-filled individuals,
mm-hmm.
with no hope of ever coming back. That's what happened to the spiritual beings, the angels, when they decided that they were going to sin. There was nothing, no going back for them.
Yeah.
Because they already had eternal life. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Let me ask you something. The angels, I haven't gotten this far in my Christianity yet. It's something that's weighing on me. Angels were kicked out of heaven. And some of them went with Satan, some of them with God. What is that all about? I mean, was that before Adam, or what was that? Am I going too far here?
No, it could have been right around the same time. Okay. But we don't really know. The scripture doesn't really tell us the timing of it. We just know it happened. So Ezekiel 28, I think it is, goes into detail about what happened with Satan. He was the top of all the angels, and he was given the knowledge of God, or the wisdom of God, or whatever. But what ended up happening for him is that pride was found in him, and he wanted to be like God. He couldn't be above God, because there is nobody above God, and he was created by God.
He wanted to be like God.
Right, and which is nearly the same identical thing that he took to Adam and Eve.
Okay.
So
I understand. I need to read more of my Old Testament like we're doing now.
You know. Well, sometimes you can get these in word studies. And right now what we're doing is book studies. This is what we're doing is called expository Bible study.
And that's what I like. This is what I like.
Yeah. Well, word studies are kind of fun too. Like if you run, here's an interesting thing you can do too, is you can run the Holy Spirit, especially in Bible study company, you can put that in and run it through the whole Bible. And that's actually a good way to study the Bible too, because you take the first use of the Holy Spirit, which I don't know if you know this, but and a lot of folks don't, but I challenge everybody to go look in Genesis 1 and 2 or 3, where the Lord is walking in the garden. And there's never an instance where it says that the Lord saw, or Adam and Eve saw God, because it says in scripture, no man has ever seen God.
Yeah. Yeah.
He heard God.
Yeah.
And faith comes by hearing. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing here with the Word of God. Our knowledge about God is growing because we're in the Word. So back to the enemy, he took, he was able to convince and tempt a bunch of angels to leave. And then so when we see him in the garden, he is now tempting Adam and Eve with the same temptation.
Okay. Gotcha.
You can be just like God if you don't listen to God.
Yeah. See, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with it.
That's exactly the point. Yep. And so the issue is, what was Adam and Eve's job when they were on the earth? What was their job?
What was their job? To be faithful.
To what?
To God. To not sin.
Exactly.
They had one rule: do not eat from the tree, you know, and they did, because Satan tempted them.
So God's will for them in the law that he gave was don't eat of the tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they ate of the tree, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It was interesting because Eve was deceived, but Adam was not.
Yeah. Adam just followed along, right?
Right, but he knew he wasn't supposed to.
Yes, yes. What is worse, Adam's sin or Eve's? Which one is worse?
Well,
same? Or is it Eve, that since she tempted Adam, which is worse? His or hers? Or are they the same?
Well, the problem is that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. So
Yeah.
the worst sin was choosing to go against God's will.
Yeah.
Eve was convinced by an angelic being,
Yeah.
And her husband went along with it. So, no.
No, what?
No, she, so it, whoever, Paul was talking about this in Corinthians, and or what one of the books, and he said Eve was deceived, but basically Adam wasn't. So the greater sin rests on him.
Okay. But I honestly think they're both the same.
Oh, of course, all sin is.
Yeah, all sin is the same.
But
I don't
they
think
do,
it's any worse than hers.
Right, but they do carry different weights of consequence.
Yeah.
So anyway, this fits in with our topic actually in Ephesians. So do you want to go over there?
Yep.
Okay, so since your throat's kind of bad,
I'll follow along. No, okay. I just talk about it then.
All right, so I'm going to start in 13.
In 13?
Yep.
Okay.
So remember, we were talking about this concept of in him, in Christ. Remember, we talked about how we are hidden in Christ.
Yeah.
And so Christ covers us with his blood if we put our sin on him by faith.
Yeah.
So in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, so they listened. Notice how they listened first.
Yeah.
And then they believed. And then once they believed, they were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So this is important because in
explain
certain,
this.
Yeah, what?
Explain this for me. Go ahead.
Okay. First off, when we believe the gospel, there are certain groups, and I'll just name the groups, Pentecostals and Charismatics tend to believe this, that there is, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have to have a second baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Okay.
And so they get that out of Acts 2. And so out of Acts 2, when the tongues of fire came down on the 12 apostles, and then the other people were in the room, and then the Holy Spirit came and indwelt everyone there. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the interesting thing about this is that Paul, what Paul is actually saying here is that in him, in other words, because of him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, so we listen to the message, as we said, the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, which is our salvation, having also believed, you and I believe this message.
Yep.
We are now sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Yep.
Do you get it?
Yep. We went through this.
We went through this. Our dead spirit that we were born with, we have no connection to God at all. And then when we hear the message of the gospel, listen to it, choose to believe it, then the Holy Spirit creates us in us a new heart and makes us born again.
Yep.
Now what happens is that's called a fancy term for that. Irv is called being justified.
Yeah.
In other words, God erased our sin debt. So some people call it like this. Justify never sinned.
Yeah.
So we, here's the blood of Christ. We come under that by faith.
Yeah.
And now God looks down through us through that blood, and he through Christ's blood, and he sees Christ's righteousness, not our sin.
Yeah.
So
it says on here, and you know, guarantee of the inheritance, understanding redemption, the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Yeah, that's this great.
This is about his glory, not our glory.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Isn't that interesting?
It is. It really is.
Yep. So this confirms what happened to you on the porch. You were in a charismatic Pentecostal church for mm-hmm. years, which was very, I don't want to call it legalistic, but it was very controlling through accountability-based program about 30 years ago. But the problem that you had was there's a good possibility that you really had a heart for God, but you weren't born again until by faith you put your sins on Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before I was, how do I put this? I was told I was no good. I was told, your sins are yours, and, you know, you have to do all kinds of different things to make your sins better. And all you have to do is ask the Lord for forgiveness for them sins and not have to do all kinds of other crap, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in reality, where we started out, which you started out with a prompting of the Holy Spirit, I believe, mm-hmm. that you really need to be obedient. And that's what I was trying to dig out from you, was what is this obedience to? And what is this obedience for? Because now that we're saved, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, according to verse 13. Where do we go from here? How do we approach God? If we're under the blood of Christ, now what?
Well, we're already saved. Our obedience is to God now.
Okay.
Not to the other churches, not to other people. Our obedience is to God and ourselves.
Perfect. That's perfectly said. So, but now what happens with our going forward? So you said obedience. That's right. But what does it look like?
What does it look like?
How do you define that? What is obedience? So I said, if I say to you, how were you obedient? You were prompted by the Holy Spirit. You were prompted by the Holy Spirit about mm-hmm. obedience. So something's going on there. So how do you define that?
How do I define it? I'm not real sure. I don't think you can define obedience to the Lord. I don't understand. To be obedient to the Lord means to follow his word, right here in this Bible, right here. This is where you're obedient to everything that's in here, not what people say.
Okay. So let's say that I come to you and I say, okay, you need to follow the Mosaic law. And cause otherwise you aren't being obedient to the Lord. What do you say to that?
Say that again.
Let's say you run into me and we don't know each other, but we find out we're both Christians. And I say to you, you know what? You need to follow the Torah. You need to follow the commands of God, the Mosaic law. Otherwise you're not being obedient to God's word. What would you say?
What would I say? Well, for one thing, I'd tell you to kiss my butt. If I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to be obedient to God, what he wants me to do, not what anyone else wants me to do. To be obedient to God doesn't mean, you can't define that. I don't think you can.
Well, that's fine. So that's why I'm doing a little digging for you. But the Holy Spirit prompted you in obedience. So what do you think he's trying to tell you? Why is that a pivotal thing for you?
Well,
why do you think he's prompting you that way?
Why?
Yep. Why do you think he is?
Prompting me in what way?
Well, you said after you ended your prayer that obedience was really important. And so
it is.
Yep.
To have faith in God, to be obedient to him means to praise his word, praise his name, to praise him and not someone else, not something else. You know, there's a lot of different gods out there that people think there is, but there's only one God. And to be obedient to him is different for each people. Well, I think it is.
Yep. And here, yeah. And I think one of the things that happens, this reason I brought the Torah keeping thing in.
I don't know what that is, so.
It's okay. There are groups that tell you that you have to still follow the Torah, which is ridiculous. But anyway, we won't go into that. Well, and, or I could come to you and say, well, you've got to do this charismatic stuff. And you've got to do all the signs and wonders, and come on, you got to do all this.
I'm just going to say, if someone comes to me and says, you're not being obedient to God, how do they know I'm not being obedient to God?
Well, and they could say, well, you need to do X, Y, Z to prove it.
What I need to do is what God prompts me to do. And that could be different things at different times.
Perfect. And here's the thing. We can follow a bunch of rules.
Yeah.
But
it's not what God wants me to do.
No. And this is the perfect example. First, we're saved. I'll give you this example. Adam did not do the will of his Father in heaven, did he?
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't.
And what did Jesus say he was going to do when he came to the earth?
I don't know.
Sure you do. I just gave you a clue. Adam did not do the will of his Father in heaven.
Yeah, well, he kicked him out.
Right, and Jesus said he was came to do what?
Save us and all our sins in his blood.
Correct, because the commandment of the Lord to him was mm-hmm. to do the will of the Father.
Yeah.
So by doing the will of the Father and being sinless, he fixed Adam's sin. So yeah. As God, he fixed all the way back to the beginning of time. He fixed Adam's sin, paid that price, but he also paid our price because he paid for the future because he was God, and only God can do that.
Yeah.
So like a Jehovah Witness will say that Jesus wasn't God, and we'll say, yeah, well, then your sins aren't covered, are they?
Yeah. I had a Jehovah Witness come to me, and I don't know what the Jehovah Witness, I'm not going to say any kind of Christianity is wrong. As long as you follow the Lord, you're in the right way. I don't know what their beliefs are. It's not in my place to tell them they're doing wrong, that they're sinning. That's not what God put us on this earth for.
Well, so. And you're early in your year into your Christian walk.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is they don't believe that Jesus was God.
Mm.
And so there's no coverage for sin for them.
They have no sin protection.
Correct.
That's the way to put it.
Yep.
You know, if they don't believe in the blood of God or the blood of Jesus, then they.
Well, I got a phone call from a guy from Madison, and he wanted to let me know that he was calling because he wanted to invite me to a Jehovah Witness National Conference online, and I said, well, that's really interesting that you called. I said, you guys really don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Oh, no, he never said he was the Son of God. And I said, well, let's go to Scripture and take a look. And I showed him quite a few examples that he was God. And he was like, he said, well, most people I call, this is really sad. Most people I talk to don't know the Bible like you do. And I said, I know, it's really sad.
Yeah.
And it was my case too, when I was in charismatic circles. Not bashing charismatics,
Yeah.
but they I didn't learn how to study the Bible there.
Can I
Anyway,
butt in here for just a second? What did
no,
you
you can't.
what did you tell him when he said that most people don't know the Bible like you do? Did you tell him why they should? They should, before he calls you and tells you all kinds of stuff, he needs to learn the Bible instead of leading you in the wrong way.
Well, that's true. Now, anyway, I didn't want to go on that, but he was so flustered that he got off the phone. And I said, I said, sir, you're going to have to deal with the fact that you are, you have not accepted Christ as your savior.
Yeah.
And put your sins on him, because if you don't recognize him as God, that was the same problem that the Jews had. They didn't recognize him as God. Christ said, you'll die in your sins. And you can read that in your own Bible.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was a little flustered. But what I wanted to get to with this, because we're not doing as much Bible study, but we are covering some really good ground. Yeah. So right here, Paul is saying, we believe the gospel. Once we believe the gospel, we are now sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
So charismatics and Pentecostals believe, as I did in the past, and you were in this too, that you had to have people lay hands on you to get the gift of the Holy Spirit, which was the second work. What Paul is saying is that, no, it's one work. We have Christ who regenerates our spirit and causes us to be born again. That's it. Now, you'll see many fillings of the Holy Spirit when the Spirit would fill something to accomplish his will. And we both know that all the Holy Spirit's agenda is to for us to be able to carry out the will of God. Forget the gifts, forget any of this other stuff. Whatever he wants to do with us is the correct thing. And so help us do the will of the Father that's following Jesus. Is that correct? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's look at, that's verse 13.
Okay.
So having believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And what's really interesting about that, Irv, is that people in the Old Testament weren't really, they didn't have the ability to be filled internally, and we do. And that's what makes us the temple of God. And that's why in Romans 12, 1 or 12, the Lord wants us to become a living sacrifice to him.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll go to 14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance and a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Well, what's amazing about that is we talked about that today in the men's Bible study, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are now adopted into the family of God, even though he's our creator, through Christ and the blood of his sacrifice. And now we are sons of God. We're heirs of his.
Yeah.
And so we have to walk in a way that causes us to want to be an heir. In other words, if he's my father, Lord, this is your inheritance, the earth and all that's in it and his glory. Remember that? We just worshiped him for that. So now how do we carry this out for you, Lord? How do you want, and what he wants us to do is, Irv, he wants us to get our eyes off of people, things, places, all these different things, not worry about a ministry, not worry about who we're, what we're doing. He wants our eyes only on him. Do you see what I mean? And if it's only on him, then our ministry is only to him. And then he takes care of any ministry. You are the best miracle of that I know of. And so being housebound in some forms, not as much as you were, but worried about your health and stuff, you've still impacted other people's lives. In fact, I told Mary the other day, I said, Irv believed for a little while that he wasn't bearing any fruit in his life for the Lord.
Yeah.
And she turned around to me and said, "You're kidding. He really thinks that?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, she said, "That's not right. So knock it off." So, and so some people are called in to be helps in administration. Some are called to be in speech type of things, but all are called to minister to the Lord.
Yeah.
Period.
And it's that fruit is my crown. It's going to be my crowns.
Exactly. Hold out your hand as far as you can stretch it. Okay. That's as far as your ministry goes. That's all the control you have.
Yeah. Me.
That's right.
The only thing I control is me.
That's right.
So, yeah.
So whatever we do, God will multiply as he sees fit. But it's for his glory, not our glory.
Yeah.
So,
you know.
Go ahead.
It's great to when you tell me that you know, you've touched this person, you've touched this one, they've heard your story and they really are amazed by it, because I don't see where I'm doing anything except for giving my testimony out there, what happens with me and how I have been saved, how I have been touched by the Lord. You know my stories, you know what's been going on, but we'll not get into that. But there's things that I can't control, but it really touches me whenever you keep telling me you have helped this person, or you have, it touches you when you can understand how far you can, do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and see, that's what Paul is trying to tell us right here, is that we are, the Lord is trying to let us know that it's all about him, and all we have to do is focus on him and not take our eyes off of Christ. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. Hey, let me read this verse 15.
Okay.
I think this is a good one. Therefore, I also, after I heard your faith of the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. What's that? Well, let me. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. What does that mean?
Well, let's look at it. All right, 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers.
Oh, so you got to go on with this to understand what it.
Yep. And so he goes into some really powerful things. Called "Do Not Cease Giving Thanks for You While Making Mention of You in My Prayers."
Now he's talking about the members of the. Who is he talking to when he's the whole church?
What do you mean?
When he writes this letter, who's he? Who's he writing this to?
The Ephesians, remember?
Okay. So he's talking to all of them.
Right.
He's talking to the whole in one, more or less.
Right. Yep. Isn't that interesting?
It is. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention in you of you in my prayers. Go ahead and keep reading a little bit, Rick.
Okay, let's see.
We're going to talk about this a little bit. It's stuff.
No, it's okay. I was trying to get my. My Zoom back. I can't get my Zoom back, but anyway, it says, okay, so do not So he does not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayer. So now he's going to teach us how to start praying and how he recognizes that they have faith, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him. And so, Irv, what we have to do right now is stop, and we have to say, Lord, let's pray right now that, Lord, we go to you, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and may you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Lord, and that's what we really need, is more knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for that because it's your will right here. Right?
Yeah.
So in 18, he keeps on praying. So those are some of the things that we can pray for people. And now we're starting to learn how to pray. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So Lord, we lift up our family members. We lift up those that don't know you. And we ask that you would enlighten the eyes of their hearts so that they can know the hope that of your calling and what the riches are of your inheritance. And Lord, this is one of the biggest problems that people have of not wanting to come to you, because they think it's all about religion and not about getting to know you. This is one of the most powerful prayers I've ever seen about the whole issue, Lord, of coming to know who you are. And so that's what we pray for our family members in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand and in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in also the one to come. So isn't that wonderful? We have an inheritance that we're looking forward to. And he put all things in subjection under the feet of Christ and gave Christ as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Yeah, so, see, we talked about that the last time. The inheritance that we have is waiting there for us, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I look forward to that. I really do.
Well, and I think it's really exciting, and I hope that I just had to make a note that we're came to the end, but that is our hope for the whole end of what we're trying to live like. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so this chapter, Irv, is trying to show us exactly what we are trying to do. Do you see what I mean?
I do.
It sets the standard for us.
This has been a powerful chapter. It really has.
Yeah.
And it's the first one, you know. We've got, how many chapters are in Ephesians?
Five or six. Five. But here's the thing, Irv. Think about why you were prompted by the Holy Spirit in obedience. I think that that's really very significant that that happened to you at the beginning of our talk. So why do you, now as you frame that, and if you need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for help, you should, because I think it's significant.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, the power, well, there is so much that I can get out of this chapter. We could go through this chapter again and get a lot more out of it even, you know, so.
But why do you think the Holy Spirit prompted you at the beginning of this? Do you know what I mean?
To what?
To
obedience? For the obedience?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know. you know, there's some times where I don't think I am being obedient enough to the Lord, but there's times where I think I am. I think you thrive to do better all the time. And, you know, there's times where I don't think I'm being obedient enough to the Lord. Or do you understand what I'm saying? I always want to do better. That's right. Trying to get at. I always want to be more obedient. And every time I read my Bible and I pray, I'm being more obedient to Him. So do you want me to lead us out in prayer?
Sure.
All right. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time that we've shared. We've learned so much, and help me, Lord Jesus. We started this out and I had no idea how much the obedience part of this would come into this, but thank you so much for bringing it up. And help me, Lord, help me to be more obedient to you, to cast my net wider so that I can be more obedient. Help me not to be okay with it. Help me to thrive to do better in my Christianity, in my faith, and everything. Help me to do better for you, to help other people come to you. I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Well, that's really good. Well, I missed having a meeting with you.
Yeah, we're going to have to do this more. We had a good one today, and it lasted a while.
Yeah, it did.
But now we're going to have to get more of this because we're not doing enough, Rick. We're not doing them enough.
Right. And if you would, please take time to pray about why the Holy Spirit is prompting you about obedience.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just feel like, you know, there's times where I feel like I'm not doing enough.
Okay. Well, that's what I wanted to get to. So I think if the Holy Spirit's prompted you on obedience, I think he wants to define what obedience to him really is.
Yeah.
And remember, it's not about how much you're doing. It's about, now people will disagree with me, but I don't care. You're under the blood of Christ. And So what I want you to do is practice asking the Lord what his urges are for. He's urging you about being obedient, but I think what he wants to do is clarify to you what obedience really means. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Because here's the thing. I just want to finish this, and I want you to hold that thought too. If you're being obedient, and you just said in a word, you don't feel like you're doing enough, this is going to be a condition that we all have while we're in a sinful body. And Satan will try to drive you with a religious spirit to try to get you to do more and more and more and get on a treadmill and make you feel guilty for doing stuff that you didn't do, you didn't even need to do. Do you see what I mean?
In a way, are you saying I'm not being obedient enough?
I'm not. No, I'm saying the opposite.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying
worried there.
Yeah, I'm saying that you need to rest in Him and let Him drive your urges. You're not going to be perfect enough. That's the point of coming under His blood.
Okay.
You get it?
I need to stop worrying. That's my thing right here. And I'm going to pray about this. I need to start praying a lot about this because it's been weighing me down.
And really the thing I do, and it's not about me, but the thing that I've learned is I tried to be so obedient to the Lord that I could never do it. And yes. So it became an up and down thing of Christianity until I just told the Lord in an honest and as gut-wrenching as I could, I don't want to follow you because I can't. And so I've tried and I failed, but see, the key is I tried, I failed. And so I asked the Lord if he could fix me. And the prompting that came back is, no problem. If I could create the universe, I could fix you.
Okay.
So Irv, it's the same thing. It's, you can't do enough. You can't be enough. What you need to do is rest in him and follow what he is doing.
You hit the nail right on the head, Rick. You really did, right there. I feel like I'm not being enough. If I can't be obedient enough to make me happy, how am I making God happy?
Right. And so, that's not what this is about. It's about you getting as honest as you can with him.
Yeah.
And in every gut, every word, every thought, get as honest as you can, even if you don't want to do a Bible study, even if you don't want to read the Bible, just tell him, but say, Lord, I need help changing.
That's, you know what, Rick, that's what I'm talking about. You know, you've been through it, I think, because that's, you're hitting it right on, you're hitting it every part of it. I feel like I don't want to do a Bible study, and I feel like I'm letting him down.
Right.
And that's.
And the only one you're letting down is you, because of the richness of what's taking place. Like, the Holy Spirit's prompting you about obedience, not to be obedient, but to find out what obedience really means.
Yeah. See, today I've been so high in the Holy Spirit. I mean, two Bible studies in one day, hey. But, you know, I felt good today. I've been praying. I went to the pond down here and sat down there and prayed for a while and read the Bible. And I've been asking the Lord that today about, I think maybe that's why it come up, obedience come up, because I've been struggling with that today really hard.
Yeah, because you're being driven that you're not enough.
Yeah.
And because you love God, you want to be enough, but he already made you enough. That's what Ephesians 1 is all about. Paul is telling you that you didn't know, we didn't know, that what Christ did for us was actually take us into the heavenly places and make us an inheritance. So the weight comes off of us and we say, Lord, what is your will for me today? And I want to try to obey that, but give me the power to do it.
Let me ask you something. Does, when you pray and when you give your time to the Lord, does it have to be early in the mornings? Does it have to be when you get up, when you wake up?
I'm going to just say it like this. In the Ephesians, in Revelation, if you go and read that in Revelation 3, the Lord was angry with them because they left their first love. And what does that mean to you?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, he gave them high praise for all that they did and do, but they said, this I have against you, and that is you left your first love.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, well, what it means is, I used to be first in your life and I'm not anymore. Everything else comes before me.
Okay.
So you figure out how that works.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I need to make God my first love. I do, Rick. I really do. I am trying really hard to, how do I put this? Yeah, we haven't talked like this. It's something that's weighing on me really hard. I'm trying to be so obedient to the Bible, to the Lord, that it's scaring me that I'm not enough.
That's right. And you're not ever going to be, because Christ made you enough through his blood. In other words, just think of this. Remember I told you about the envelope?
Yeah. Yeah.
We are in Christ in that envelope. It's his blood that you're under, not yours, and not your efforts.
Yeah. But do you ever get to the point that you're worried you're not giving enough?
Oh, that's always going to come up and will come up. But you know what is what you, if let's look at it as a relationship with God.
Okay.
Rather than what we do. Because if I said to you, if you walked into Julie and you said, Julie, I just don't feel like I'm good enough for you. And so I'm going to ask you if you would like, so that I can feel better about myself, if we could go to dinner. How would she look at you?
Like I was stupid.
Well, the thing is that Christ is saying, I loved you so much that I died for your sins, and you can't be loved any more than that. And so the thing is that if you're in a relationship with me, I'm going to let you know when inside that you need me. And Irv, for the last 3 weeks or so, we haven't got together doing these Bible studies.
No, we haven't.
And you're a little bit, I'll just say it this way, you're dehydrated in your soul.
I am.
So who rehydrates?
Myself and you and the Lord.
No, the Lord does, not me or you or anything. He rehydrates us because sin separates us from him. Yeah. And so if I'm going to depend on myself, that's the people with the first love in Ephesians. They were depending on themselves. They no longer depended on God. The Lord wants us to depend on him. So let's change the conversation. Lord, I'm lonesome for you, and I'm also deeply dehydrated, and I need you. And so I want to spend time with you. Now, I don't know God's heart. I can't speak for him, but I know that when a child says that to your child says that to you, Dad, I just want to spend time with you. What happens to your heart?
It melts. You know what, Rick, you just hit, you're telling me exactly what is helping right now. And how I'm feeling. I want so much to tell, you know, to pray to the Lord, say, I'm lonesome for you. Yeah, and I am. That's a lot of the thing right now. I'm not doing enough for the Lord, and I'm not doing enough to learn right now. I've been putting it off. I'm not going to, you know, put the nose around the bull.
And you're being honest right now, but I want to tell you why. You have to ask yourself the question, why is that? Because you love being with Julie. You love being around there. So, but if she said to me, okay, you have to wake up in the morning and you have to spend time with me for 1 hour in the morning, you have to spend time with me. And then at lunchtime, you have to spend another thing, and you, in fact, you've got to read me 4 or 5 books, and you've got to do all this stuff for me. What are you going to do?
Probably, I don't know.
You're probably going to. That was pretty demanding, isn't it?
Yeah, that would pretty much upset me if she told me I got to do all this and all that. But I understand what you're saying, but. If I could find a time, and it's my fault that I haven't found this time. Rick, I got all day. I don't do nothing.
I know, but you do way more than you give yourself credit. But here's the thing. Let's say you say, I'm going to get up every day at 10 o'clock. I'm going to give it up every day at 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock. And you miss one. What did you do? You just made yourself a law that you can't keep.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you're right. I can't just make a time saying, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up early in the morning and I'm going to start praying, and I will pray and read my Bible for 1 hour. I will give 1 hour in the morning to the Lord. I'm going to get up at this time. I'll break it every time, Rick.
Yep. That's because you just became a law keeper.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I've done. I've am I keeping you from anything, Rick?
No.
Okay. But I'll catch myself doing that, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to get up at 9 o'clock. I want to make sure I get up at 9 o'clock, and I will hit the floor and read my Bible, and I will pray beside the bed before I even do anything. And I can't do that because I've got breathing treatments and everything else. And then it blows my mind. You know, I forget. And, you know, there's things that I have to do in the morning before I can even do anything, my oxygen, my everything else. But then I feel bad that I didn't get up and do the prayers first. Then I'll forget.
Okay. Well, again, let's read this. Ephesians 1, just for this one thing, because remember, we talked about this as part of a relationship. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faithful Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all saints, do not cease giving thanks while making mention, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Mm. What we're saying right there, Irv, is what we're saying right there. What he's saying is this is about a relationship with him. How did St. Paul start out? He started out getting whacked on the Damascus Road and meeting the risen Lord face to face.
Yeah.
Nobody does that and lives.
Well, this talk has really helped, Rick. It really has. And I thank you.
I want to be nice to you, but I want to say this to you. Are you ready?
Go right ahead.
Stop being religious, mister.
Yeah,
I'm start trying having to... a relationship with God.
Yeah,
yeah. Just walk across the living room and you have a feeling like, oh, well, I'd really like to pray or whatever, and you go, oh, I better set a time or whatever. And I'm sure the Lord's eyes roll and then tell Julie that. See how that flies.
You know what? Let me. I will tell you this. I don't sit down to pray. I really don't. I'll start praying, talking to God, just like I'm talking to you right now. And, you know, I love that. I love having that relationship, but I don't want that to count as the time that I spend just him and I.
Oh boy, you really have it all boxed up, don't you?
Not really.
Let me tell you a story really quick. When we were studying Ephesians, not uh-huh. Ephesians, Exodus.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out why the Lord would say or the Holy Spirit put in there that spoke to Pharaoh and said, let my people go that they may go out and serve me. Yeah. So I kept saying, asking the Lord that question. What does that mean? What does that mean? And what came to me prompting from the Holy Spirit was this. The highest purpose of man is to worship God. That's the highest purpose. Mm-hmm. How do we worship God? We worship him by not what we do, but how we have arranged our life around him and a relationship with him.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've said this before, but today has been a really, really good day, actually. I've been very truthful. You know, to you, yep. To everything. I've been very true to myself. You know, normally I just pass it off. It's like, well, I'll get better, you know, but I've been very truthful to myself today and to you. And, getting it out, having my feelings known helps. It really does.
And be as honest as you can with me and with Julie and everybody around you, including the Lord. Like if you're walking across the room and you sense that you're getting dehydrated and you need to get some life from him, and then you can say to him, Lord, my gut, I don't want to take the time to spend with you. Just try that.
Yeah.
Let's try that with you.
I get smacked in the head with a bolt of lightning.
Yeah, that's right. But do you see what I'm saying? We're talking about a relationship, not a religion.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't want a religion. I want the relationship with God like I've never had before and I never will have again. I want it to grow every day that way. You know, it's like my love for Julie. I'm not being sappy here, but I love her more every day.
Yep.
You know, it grows every day.
It's helped that you're in Christ now because he's helping you love her every day.
You know what? The Lord has given me a love for Julie that I never had before.
What about me?
You know what I'm talking about, though. He is giving me a relationship with other people that I've never had before. Ooh, I can't say this. The Lord helped me once today. I was taking a walk down by the pond, and I'll be real quick with this. And I walked down by the pond, and this lady had a porch out there, you know, a patio, and she was sitting there talking to this guy. And I went by and said hello. And she said, "Hey, how you doing? We just sparked off a conversation, me and her." And the guy was standing there. We talked for about 5 minutes. He's, "If you don't mind, we were having an important discussion, so you need to leave." I'm thinking, you know what? A year ago, I'd have jumped down your throat and beat you to death. I mean, he was rude, Rick. But I think, okay, I'm sorry. And I walked off. You know, back before I found the Lord, I'd have said something to him.
Okay, so now, remember, we've talked about this a bunch of times. So this individual was very disrespectful
very
to you.
Disrespectful. Very. Okay.
So again, remember, we said it's our choice to get angry or not.
I didn't.
What?
You know what? I caught myself, Rick. I really did.
I know. I saw it. But now you need a fun, snappy comeback.
You know what? I was getting it really. It really got to me. But I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to do this. You know,
But what you could, what we just running it back, what you could have said to the lady was, "Ma'am, I really want to thank you for your kindness and your hospitality.
Goodbye."
Yeah. And so have a wonderful day and blessings to you and just keep on moving. Now, what did you just
say? That would have kicked him off.
Well, that's his problem. He was already ticked.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to let you go, Rick.
Here's another thing. Just say I you're having a very important conversation, it sounds like. Ma'am, I hope you're okay.
I hope he's not gonna beat you up.
That's right.
All right. Hey buddy, I love you very much.
You too.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, maybe.
Okay. Hopefully. Blessings.
Bye. Bye.